We want to take this moment to welcome all of our new associates. So if you're new here to Prime, PSD student, ACBC, whatever you are, please, at all three locations, please stand up and let us properly recognize you.
Awesome. Oh, you want me to take it from here?
Go ahead.
All right, man. So I'll bring something up here. And I know usually we go through the inspections and all that, but this happened earlier this week. My wife went to Walmart, brought home some strawberries. Now, I've got two boys that just love strawberries. So they're sitting there eating them. And my youngest one, Logan, he's 11. He goes, "Hey, Mom, where'd these come from?" Wife goes, "They come from Walmart, like most of our groceries come from." He goes, "No, where did the strawberries come from?" So I said, "Look there on the box. So look right there in the container." So he does. It says California. He goes, "Dad, did Prime haul those?" I said, "Of course we did." But no. But, you know, you think about it, and even young kids, you know, they pick that up and they go, "Well, how'd they get here from California?" Well, they come on a truck. And I was just thinking about this earlier today on my way to work, thinking, what do we need to talk about here at our safety meeting? You know, it's amazing to think that we do this here in the United States day in, day out, and most people don't even realize it. But you pick up a load of strawberries in California, and by Friday, Saturday, somebody in Boston or out on the East Coast is eating those strawberries at their dinner table. You know, 4 or 5 days, they're sitting there on the East Coast, and they're going to the store, and people are buying them and consuming those strawberries. And they all happens because of trucks. That's what it comes down to. What you guys do day in, day out, and we very much appreciate what you do. But there also comes a lot of sacrifices too, doesn't there? You know, some of you are getting new, or new in this business, getting new into trucking. You've never been done it before. Some of you have done it for many years, like Terry over here. You know, he's been doing it for 2-3 million miles, safe driver. That's great. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of sacrifices go on. You're away from your home. You're out on the road 2-3 weeks at a time. Some of you more than that, month or two at a time. Whatever you want to do. You know, some of you are leasing a truck. Some of you are running company. That's awesome. Whichever way you want to go, that's fine. Bottom line, at the end of the day, we needed to be safe. And if you think about that route from California to the East Coast or California to Missouri, look at how many obstacles you have. You got weather. You got traffic. You got other motorists. I mean, especially the other motorist part, trying to dodge them and stay out of their way. End of the day, we don't want you involved in any accident at all, even non-preventable. You know, this past week, year to date, our total accidents were at 3.63 accidents per million miles. That's a little over three, almost, you know, 3.5 accidents per million miles of driving our trucks do every day. And that's preventable and non-preventable. If you just go to the DOT recordables, 0.58 accidents per million miles. So a little over a half an accident every million miles. So basically we have one DOT recordable accident for every 2 million miles out there on the road. DOT recordable preventable, 0.23. So every about 5 million miles, we have a preventable DOT recordables. Now, obviously, we want to stay out of all the accidents, preventables, non-preventables, because it's best we operate that way. Safety is number one here at this company, by all means. But also comes in, too, a service as well. And we got a great customer here today. I'm surprised Dennis hasn't stocked his pockets yet back here with some goodies. I don't know. Maybe we should check those out. But no, it's, you know, customers like this, relationships we have with a lot of our customers, relationships with our enforcement. That's very important, too, as well. This past week, we had 130 DOT inspections out there on our roadway. That's what drives our safety numbers, is these inspections. You know, how many? 81 of those were clean, so 62% clean rate on those inspections. That is awesome. Good job on that. You know, that's what we're averaging nationwide for motor carriers. On average, it's about 35 to 38% for clean inspections. We're up into the 60s, and this past week was 62. Those numbers are what drive safety, there's no doubt. And when you're out there on the roadway, get pulled into a scale, you know, how your truck looks, how you look, it all makes a difference to that officer. Coming across, positive attitude. Now, I know some days you get out there and we don't have positive attitudes. There's many days inside here I don't have a positive attitude. But when you meet that enforcement individual, young man, young lady, veteran officer, coming across with that positive attitude, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, that's what they like to hear. It makes that inspection go by a little bit easier on you. The way your truck looks, how clean it is, how the dash looks, everything factors in. If you got a bungee cord holding up your fender, you know, you pull into a scale or something like that, good chance you're going to get pulled around. Because if I was that officer, I'd do the same thing. That'd be something I want to look at. And, you know, just taking care of the little things, those pre-trip inspections, day in, day out. all that. That's what factors in and how safe out there on the road you are. So continue doing what you're doing. You guys are doing an awesome job this year. Weather's turning around for us, right?
Absolutely. So
you're out there hitting a golf ball a little bit now and then, getting more and more.
Not well.
Oh boy, it'll get better, but with time. But yeah, that's what it is. This weather helps us. There's no doubt. Go ahead.
I'm gonna circle back around to our inspection rate, especially since we got guests with us. It's a good opportunity to highlight, you know, the best and brightest that we have out here. You know, you talked about the industry average for clean inspections is about 38%.
35, 38, yep, right there.
And this week we were at 62. I think there's only been 2 weeks in 2019 where we've been below 60%. So we're knocking it out of the park every single week. We're just destroying the competition every single week, and it's due to the things that you guys right here in front of us and all of our family members out there on the road picking up and delivering freight right here with us. So
not only that, it helps the pocketbook as well. $100 for a clean inspection. You know, for an independent contractor, owner operator, 25 for the company driver. You guys get clean inspections. That's money right in the pocket. And that's what you want, and that's what you deserve for doing that. Robert's gracious enough to give it because he knows that's what drives our company here. That's what drives that safety. And continue getting those because we love paying them out every week, don't we?
Absolutely. And our director of safety, Steve Field, is, again, like we said, out on vacation. But he wanted us to remind you, one, as we do basically every meeting, but we wanted to make sure we do it this time of year. Don't let your guard down. You know, we talked about the rains in the east and the beautiful weather here in Springfield as well as out west. You know, we're not out of the woods yet. It's not uncommon to have a late April, you know, snowstorm, especially when you get up into these high altitude areas. You know, we're not quite out of the woods yet. So we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect you, protect ourselves, and protect the motoring public. You know, and that's always, you know, drive the appropriate speed for the conditions as well as your abilities. You know, some of our folks that have been here with us for a long time, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. We've even got a couple 4 million mile drivers out in our fleet right now. Their abilities during inclement weather situations, whether it's dense fog, whether it's heavy rains like they're experiencing out east, whether it's, you know, snow and ice, their ability to drive in those conditions may be a little bit better than somebody who's, maybe this is you're ending your first winter or maybe haven't even experienced winter yet for some of our new drivers that are coming into the fold. And that's okay. Don't let pride, don't let ego, because, you know, John Doe truck driver next to you is still trucking down the road. Let them do what they do. You know, slow down. And if it's time to shut down because of inclement weather, do that. You know, we've got customers right here. It's not a situation where, you know, we stand here in the safety meeting and tell you one thing, and then you get up there to your fleet manager, you get on the phone, and it's a wink and a nod. Hey, we really need you to get that in. That's just not the case. You know, these folks here at Kellogg's, they want their products delivered. They want them on the shelves so they can sell. They don't want them splattered on the, you know, the side of I-80 somewhere in Wyoming.
There you go. So, yeah, what you do day in, day out, safety is number one. Many of you will be going out with trainers here, new, just getting your CDL or just received it, and you'll be going out for the mileage and safe driving with your trainer. Make sure you ask questions. If you have questions, ask them. That's so important in this industry. I remember back when I got my CDL, I had numerous questions. I probably had more after I got my license and started driving on my own than I did before. But that being said, there's always, you know, we always got a pool of people that can answer your questions. Get a hold of us in safety. Get a hold of us. Get a hold of your fleet manager. He or she's tied right into you. They're tied in with safety. They're tied in with on-time performance, everything. MPGs, they want you successful. But bottom line, they want you safe out there on the highway. And like Dennis says, for the new drivers in here, you know, don't let your ego outdrive your abilities. And that's so true in this business. You see somebody going down the road 65, 70 miles an hour. Hey, if you're comfortable going 55, that's fine. You know, it takes some endurance to gain to be able to drive a full 10-hour shift. It just doesn't happen overnight. And that's just trucking for you. It's like with anything. It's like running a 5K. You just don't go out and sign up for a 5K and say, I'm going to go do it right now without training for it. No, you start and run a half mile, get up to a mile, get up to a mile and a half, et cetera, move your way along. Then that 5K is a lot easier and you get a lot better time than you would, you know, not training for it. So,
hey, I just want to add that you were talking about speed and space, but one thing that we really need to focus on is distractions in the cab. We got to limit those distractions as far as whether it's reaching for the a soda or the radio or whatever it may be. If you're reaching for it, it's a distraction. If it's your cell phone, put it in the back where it belongs, and until you make that stop. And then you can make your phone calls and do what you need to do, but we got to limit those distractions in the cab.
There's no doubt. And not only that, recognizing people around you that are distracted. And you'll see many of those every day out there, you know, reading a book. See somebody that's reading a book, they're passing you. Keep an eye on them because chances are they may be hitting that shoulder. Bill knows what I'm talking about back there. You know, same thing if they're on their phone. Once again, keep an eye on them because you don't want to get tangled up with them. You know they're already distracted. And just stay back, drop back, and watch what they're doing. Don't be running alongside of them. Just let them get in front of you so you can keep an eye on them. That's the best way. So good comment, Rick.
Hey, let's have some fun for a minute.
Okay, go for it.
Usually I pick on the person that's sitting always in this chair, but you're going to look out today. I'm going to pick on our astronaut. Come on up here, buddy. You should have saw his face, man. He was like, dang, I knew I shouldn't have sat here.
I like those shoes, though. You see those shoes he's got there on?
Give up your microphone, buddy.
Okay.
Good morning, sir. What's your name?
Atlas Clark.
I'm sorry?
Atlas Clark.
All right. How you doing? Good. Where are you from?
El Dorado, Arkansas.
El Dorado, Arkansas. I got a good friend that's from El Dorado, Arkansas, right there on the border of Arkansas and Louisiana, right?
Right.
All right. Well, good deal. How long you been here at Prime?
Since Sunday morning.
Since Sunday morning, so not quite a full week. Now, are you one of our PSD students?
Yes, sir.
Well, great, man. We're so lucky to have you here. What made you come to Prime?
Looking for a change in my life. I worked, did plant work for 12 years and decided to do something different.
Okay, so I'm assuming that plant work wasn't at NASA, right?
No, sir.
All right.
El Dorado paper bag.
So it was like Prime Space Force. I'm going to go with Prime, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, you know, I've been joking with you a little bit, but I'm going to get a little bit serious with you, okay? So I'm going to ask you two things. One, I want to get some good, honest, impromptu feedback about, you know, your experience here so far since Sunday.
Everything's been going pretty good.
Well, good, good. Hey, you know, it's always about continuous improvement. Even though it's been going pretty good, give us one thing that we can make better.
I can't think of anything.
Well, okay. Well, if you do think of something, we don't want you to hesitate to let us know. We're all about getting better. You know, we think we're pretty good, but we're not perfect, you know, and we want folks like yourself, especially new folks. You know, as folks that have been here for a while, sometimes we get a little bit complacent. We like these new and fresh ideas coming to us, all right? So my next question for you is, since you're new, you got a cell phone?
Yes, sir.
All right, and you going to be honest with me?
Yes, sir.
You ever texted and drove before?
Yes, sir.
Recently?
I drove recently.
You can be honest. You can be honest. You know, we're all victims of these things here. You know, there's some mossback guys that say, hey, my phone is only to make and receive phone calls. But the rest of us, you know, we've gotten into the age of technology. You know, we do online banking. We communicate. We, you know, text. We do everything, you know, and I think it's a great tool. But unfortunately, it's not a great tool when you're driving down the road. This doesn't help you drive. All right. So I want a commitment from you, and I'm going to ask every other PSD student here. All right. And this is a strong one. All right. When you're out on duty. All right. And I'm using no specific language. Now, I didn't say just driving on duty. That means taking instruction from your instructor. That means doing your pre-trip inspections. I want you to take a bold move and turn it off. All right. Not put it on silent like mine is right now. I want you to turn it off completely. And the reason I want you to do that is because I want your undivided attention on learning your craft and taking good instruction from your PSD instructor. Can you make me that commitment?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. Well, I appreciate that. Hey, you know, I'll tell you what, since you were kind enough to come up in here and let me pick on you, I'm going to let you grab a box of cereal before you get out of here. All right. I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. All right. So it's never easy to come up, especially impromptu in front of a group of people and talk. You know, I was reading something the other day that talked about what people's biggest fear is in life. You know, death is a big one. And that death was number two, believe it or not. Does anybody know what the number one fear of everybody, most people in America is? Speaking in public. So, you know, if you look at it, when you go to a funeral, you know, most people in the room would rather be in the casket than up at the podium giving the eulogy. So, you know, something to think about. So thank you so much for coming up impromptu. You lucked out this time. All right. We'll get you next time. All right. All right. I'm looking at the clock and I think I've eaten up all of our safety time, but you know, we just want to reiterate that, you know, we're available, we're transparent. If we don't have the answers to the questions that you have, we will find somebody that does have the answers. You know, let us know what's on your minds. We'll do our best to get it fixed. So who do we got next this morning?
Let's get Sean Riker up here. Come on up, Sean. Sean's in charge of our payroll department. We've got some changes going on, I think, with our cards. You've already got a new card. You're ahead of the game here, so
I do.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Dave. My name is Sean Riker. I'm in payroll. And how many of you guys have heard that we've been testing a new pay card? Anyone? A few of you guys have? So we've been testing this for quite a while. And the first question we always get is, why are we looking at a new pay card? So it initially started out as just an idea of trying to save money for you guys. Whenever you guys go to an ATM currently, if you do an inquiry, it's a dollar. If you get a decline, it's a dollar. Things like that really add up. And actually, it's over $16,000 a week is what we end up spending as a fleet out there on transactions like that. So it started out as the idea to say, what can we do to try to keep that money in your pocket? So we're looking to options, try to find out what they are. And we came across a card. It's still through Comdata, which you guys are all familiar with. It's called an on-road card. It is really the name of this card. And it changes a few things for you guys. So in essence, the same working of the card will happen for you guys. Comchecks will happen the same way, advances the same way, fueling. Everything you do currently will still happen the same way. Now, on top of that, some of your fees will go away, like I said, but probably an even bigger piece to it that we learn as we get into this is the idea that you can actually use your card now. So, true story, I eat Cheez-Its every single day for lunch. So, if you want to get a bag of Cheez-Its at a truck stop today and you wanted to buy it, you couldn't do it with your card, could you? It won't let you. You had to get cash or your debit card from home, something like that. Your new card will actually work as a MasterCard point of sale anywhere MasterCard's accepted. So, if you have money put onto your card, payroll, advance, anything like that, on the personal side, excuse me, you'll be able to have it, use it at a point of sale anywhere. So you can buy your Cheez-Its. You can do online purchases with it. People have it linked to their Amazon account that are on our test group right now. Anything you can do with a debit card, MasterCard, you'll be able to do with your card moving forward. So that's huge for you guys to be able to use your card out there. There's also an option, a peer-to-peer, to where you can have, if you got a wife at home, Terry, you got a wife at home? If you do, or your kids, or anything like that, they can register through Comdata for their own card. They can get it, and you can transfer money to them real time. So if you just put $20 on there for fuel for your kid, you can do it immediately. Hang on, I'll go right to you. You'll be able to do that. So you got that. You can also set up your own Comdata direct deposit on that. So some of you guys may have that now, but you can set it up yourself on there, and you can transfer money if you get your money loaded to your card. Maybe you don't want half of it going home or split a certain way every single week, and you want to be able to manage that. You'll be able to tell, hey, this week I want to send $200 to my bank account. Or, like I said, you can do the credit card or the other card. Or you could even just keep it on your card and use it. So any bills you can pay online, utility bills, anything like that, you can do with your card also. So it's really powerful for you guys to be able to really manage your money differently. And that wasn't really a piece of it that we were looking at to begin with. All the money savings that I was talking about before, that $16,000, that's all there also. But now you can really use it for how you need to be able to use your money on there. Do you have a question, bud?
Yeah, is it possible to move money to and most importantly from my brokerage?
So no, not in that sense. You would not be able to. It won't work like that. But it will work, like I said, peer-to-peer cards, things like that you would be able to. Now, if you wanted to buy stocks and you would be able to do it with a debit card, you could buy stocks and such with it, but you would not be able to move money to it that way. Is that what you're asking? Yeah, no, in that sense, it would not be able to. So I know we got a couple of questions around. We'll get to you first here. I know there's going to be a lot of questions. Before you start here, but I want to let everybody know, I'm just kind of introing this idea. We've got some information we're going to put out on the app for everybody. It's got some documents that will tell you how to do it. There will be a new app with it also. Some of you guys use the Fleet Advance app right now. You'll actually move to an on-road card. The Fleet Advance app will not show your transactions correctly. Somebody will want to move to the on-road card app, and it's easiest through Comdata. On our app, we'll have information for you guys later today, likely, that will show you guys how to do everything on there, what it can do for you. Just expand that. Yeah, bud.
So what kind of fees do you have when you're transferring from the Comdata card to another bank account.
So if you're doing a Comdata direct deposit, if it is your first draw, is what they'll call it, first draw, so you get a card load yesterday, the first thing you do with that is transfer that money to your bank account. It's free. Right now, you have to call in to do it, and it costs you a dollar. But if you do it on the app and you do it yourself, that would be free if it's a first draw. Now, a first draw would also be if the first thing you do is go to an ATM, the ATM fee would be waived on it also. There is an ATM network that they use called an AllPoint ATMs that are actually free completely for you guys. Now, I would love to tell you all of those are going to be at Pilots and Flying J's, but unfortunately, they're not. But they are at some larger places. Walgreens, CVS, Target are some of the main ones that use AllPoint ATMs. And you can pull them up in each area. There's actually 25 of them in Springfield area. Now, you can't get to all 25 places, I know, with a tractor and trailer, but they are around. So you guys will have some opportunity to get free cash out also. Did you have a question?
Now, I have a co-driver that I pay extra to. Can I transfer money from my card to her card?
Today, that answer is no, because the on-road to on-road transfer, on-road card will not work until later this summer. There is a couple of workarounds you can do. If they wanted to get that same one that I was talking about a spouse could get or a child could get, then yes, you could put onto that card and give them extra, but then they're carrying two different cards.
Right.
And that's going to be for a short time. Later this summer, they will have it so on-road to on-road can do transfers. We just didn't want to wait to get the card out to you because every week we wait, that's $16,000 that could be staying in your pockets. So this is a new program that Comdata is coming out with. So us and I believe Swift are the two larger carriers that are on this program now. So it's fairly new out there. So some more enhancements will be coming on it.
Hey, Sean, can you get like extra cash if you buy something? Like get a pack of gum and want $50 or something?
So a lot of you now probably use your card at Walmart to get cash back because you can do that on a Maestro system is what theirs is. You can no longer do that on their system because this runs on a different system. So you can do purchases at Walmart, no problem. You just cannot get cash back there now. So the idea, though, is if you can use your card virtually everywhere, your need for cash would hopefully go down, which hopefully will increase your safety idea out there also. Everybody wants to keep a few bucks on them, but now you don't have to worry about having money to get the Cheez-Its, the whatever else you want, just mad money throughout the week. It can be on your card easily for you guys. So hopefully it'll be safer for you guys down the road also and not have to have as much cash. Dave, we got a question in the way back
right
also.
There. Go ahead, go that one. I'll go this way.
If there's someone that needs to do cash advance when they're doing fuel stops and they're filling up the truck, can they still do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. All the functionality that you have now is the exact same. So, yep, you definitely can. Yeah, Dave.
I was just wondering when and where did you get the card?
That's a great question. So right now you can get it. We've got a associate over in the New Plaza building here at Prime. New Plaza building behind lineup. There's Stan Kastrick's office is back there. It's actually in the back corner of his office. I've got an associate over there. And what we're going to start with is 7 to 5, Monday through Friday. The associate will be over there to be able to print the cards for you. That is their sole purpose over there now. Naomi is her name. She's super nice. You guys will enjoy working with her. She'll be taking care of that for you guys. This weekend, Pittston will be able to be updated, and they'll be able to print them as of Sunday, Monday, somewhere in that ballpark when that upgrade gets done over there. Salt Lake City will be on a little bit down the road. We've got to look at what needs to happen on their actual communication system to make it happen. But as of Monday, let's say, during normal business hours in Pittston also, they'll be able to do it.
Any other questions?
Yeah, we got one right here, Dave.
Oh.
So the major concern here is what happens if the card is compromised.
So you're exactly right. So right now with your Comdata card, there is the Comdata level of fraud protection for you guys. So that means they would look at it and say, hey, is this a fraud type transaction, something suspicious? And they use their own technology for that idea. They send us an email. That email could happen immediately. It could happen a little bit down the road. We contact you at that point and say, hey, are these your transactions? So if they are your transactions, everything's fine. If they're not your transactions, though, then we have to file a big dispute with them. It starts a process down the road that's usually delayed by a portion of time anyway, just because of the communication on it. With this card, and this information will be out there for you guys, I recommend everyone to opt in to fraud protection is kind of what they call it, that will allow you to get a text message. If there's any suspicious activity, and a lot of people have this on their cards already, they'll text you right then. They'll say, is this your transaction? And you can say yes, then it will go through. You say no, it will decline it, and then they'll be able to contact you and let you know how the actual fraud dispute piece of it works then. Now, right now, a lot of people don't put money on their card because you can't. It's difficult to get money off of, and you can't use it for everything. But whenever you do put money on it, if you choose to, it will be just like a debit card for you. So you will want to make sure you know where your card is. I know a lot of guys right now throw it up on your dash because it almost doesn't matter, right? It's an ID badge and that's about it. So it'll be a lot more powerful for you guys if you choose to use it that way. You don't have to have money put on it, but it gives you a lot of tools because one of the main things we hear right now is, how do I get money home? So this card would allow you to get money home quickly, deposit whatever you want to, or really the main idea here would be you could use your money on the road and not even have to take money from home with your personal debit card. So it gives you a ton of options to be able to use. But if you do it, of course, I recommend every single person opt into that text alert fraud notices. MasterCard, hang on, Dave, I want to tag onto that. MasterCard also has their own level of fraud protection that will look for verified purchases. And that means when you're at the truck stop fueling, it's going to ask you for your truck number, order number, all those things. When you put that in there, they know that's you because really you can't fake that, right? So that's a verified purchase that you make. If you go right there and you're in Dallas and then you go to the IKEA in Dallas and purchase something, they're going to realize that it's likely you because you're there. If you just made a verified purchase in Dallas though and someone uses it at an ATM in Virginia, that's not likely you. So they're going to be able to use logic and see where you at, where your verified purchase is, to find that fraud protection also. And that's a level Comdata doesn't have. So it'll be better fraud protection for you guys in the end also.
All right. Any other questions?
I'll be available after the meeting over here. I'll be down in the basement also if you guys need me, the lower level, the Z building. And like I said, a lot of this information is going to be out on the app likely later today for you guys also.
I was just wondering, is it going to be a mandatory switch?
So everyone will end up having to move to the new card. You don't have to put money on it if you choose not to put your payroll on or anything like that. I would really recommend you guys learn what it can do for you, though. It can be really powerful for you guys.
So if you're here, just get it done right now. That's the best way.
Walk back there, get it done, Pittston next week, and then I'll let everybody know on Salt Lake City. I'll send a message out. There'll be some stuff on Facebook. I just wanted to make sure I got out here, and if we had some initial questions, got in front of you guys.
Right now, I don't have any pay loaded on my card, but I do move money from my emergency fund through it and just have it put on, fleet advance it right to my checking account. Will that be the same?
Yeah, so emergency fund transfer onto your account will go personal side. You can then, if you wanted to, because what a lot of people have done in the past is, hey, I want to buy a TV at Best Buy, right? So I'm taking $500 out of my emergency fund, I put it on here, and either then transfer it into your bank account, wait a day or two, and then go use your debit card at Best Buy, or you go pay for a ComCheck and get cashed, and then go pay for the cash, right? In this instance, you wouldn't have to do any of that if it's something like this type of purchase where you move your money to your from your emergency fund onto your card. Now, if it's an online purchase, you just do it off your card.
You know, generally, for me, it's a three-step thing because I'm moving it from emergency fund to the card to my checking account, and then once it's in my checking account, I can move it to my savings. But I can't tie my savings to the Comdata card now, I don't think.
Yeah, so that would be the same. If that's what you're trying to accomplish, you would have to do a Comdata direct deposit to your checking account and then over.
But they're going
to
have a new app for that, and eventually the Fleet Advance app is going to go away.
For you, the Fleet Advance app will go away because you need the on-road app.
Right.
For everybody else who's not on the on-road card, other fleets, they'll keep the Fleet Advance app. It just won't give you the functionality you need.
My last question, when we're doing, I know we started doing advances to pay for lumpers instead of doing express codes because they were so expensive. Is it going to save us that buck too?
We're actually looking at a couple of different ideas that may be able to. So what I'll tell you is actively being addressed. I don't have an answer right now. That is on the radar though. Any dollar we can save you guys, especially on lumpers or something like that, that's going to add up. So active issue.
All right. Sean will be around after the meeting, like you said. Also, he sits in the Z building down in the basement.
Lower level corner.
Lower level corner. That's right. So easy to find. So if you got any questions, you want to stop by his desk, feel free or talk to him after the meeting.
Breanne is going to bring us some information about the app. Everybody's mentioned an app. What about
Everybody.
Prime's app?
So if you don't have the Prime mobile app, come see us after the meeting. We'll get you all set up and everything. But with some recent changes with the Qualcomms and some different updates, it made it kind of hard to check if you had a co-driver's hours and some other things. So we were listening. We listened to all of that feedback that gets sent in. So you can check your hours of service in the app. You can't edit them, but you can check and see what they are. So in the app, if you go to My Prime, you can do it through the menu, or if you use that side navigation in the app, you can get straight to My Hours of Service. We added the co-driver in there for you. So now there's that second tab, and you can see your co-driver's hours. So you can do your trip planning, you can see what's happening, and you can check all that out. So you can switch between the two. It should start on you, and then you can flip over to your co-driver's hours. They do still have, it's not live. I mean, there is a little bit of a delay, so make sure you're checking that time up in the top where it says last updated, because that is the last time that we have that information was updated that we're displaying to you. Qualcomm gets a little upset if we try to do it super fast, so there is a little bit of a delay in there. So that's why that's there, but you can still see that for both drivers. And if you scroll on down, you can still see all of that information, the hours that are going to be gained, all of that information that's still there. And if you keep on scrolling all the way down, you're going to see that feedback button. We put that feedback button on the bottom of every page we put out there. We give us some really great ideas, and we really try to take those to heart and implement some new stuff. We have some really amazing developers that can do some pretty cool stuff up there. So we always have that up there. There's a couple of things you'll see on that feedback form. Things we get asked for a lot to edit your hours of service. We just can't do that on the app right now. It's just not a possibility. To add the 8-2 split, can't do it. It's very complicated. I've had it explained multiple times, and I still don't really understand. So it is always best to call your logs person if you're trying to do something, and they'll calculate that. It's very complicated. And then to put the 34-hour reset, there's a lot of things you can and can't do during that time. And if something changes, it's really easy to kind of mess that up if you move the truck or things happen during that time. So we just can't put that out there right now either. But we put out as much as we possibly can, and hopefully we'll be able to add some more to it soon, and hopefully you find some value in adding that code driver on there. But while you're in that part of your hours of service, look in that menu. We add a lot of new stuff. There's a lot of other things out there, like your contacts. That's where you can come out here to the videos, and you can watch that certification video for the lantern flies. You can do your contacts, your truck information, permits, things like that. So there's a lot of information out there. So feel free to look through that menu and find some stuff. There's a lot of great stuff out there. Have any other questions, or if you have any questions now, glad to answer them, but come see us after the meeting. We'll be right over here.
All right. Thank you, Breanne. So again, if you have any questions about the app, you know, where can I find the spotted lantern fly permit on the app? Breanne and Richard over here to my right can help you out.
Got another volunteer, Dennis. I found him before the meeting, though. How you doing, Terry? Thank you for coming up. So where are you from?
Upstate New York.
Upstate? Like how far upstate? Like up on the lake?
4 hours south of Albany.
Oh, boy.
Right up by Montreal, about an hour from Montreal.
There you go. So you speak French?
No.
Okay, just check. Anyway, so what brought you to Prime?
Retired from New York State Department of Corrections, wanted something else to do.
Good deal. So why'd you pick us over? You had to look at other places.
Yeah, I looked at a lot of other places, and this really looked like a good place to come to.
And why is that, if you don't mind me asking?
Just from watching the blogs from the other truckers and stuff like that, I got a lot of helpful information and thought I'd enjoy it.
Good deal. Yeah, you'll get over-the-road training, there's no doubt here. So that's good. Glad to have you. So spent some time in the military?
Yeah, did 4 years in the U.S. Navy.
All right. What'd you do?
I was a second-class machinist mate. Worked down in the hole, the boiler room. I saw a lot of different countries that I'll probably never, ever go to again.
Good deal. Well, thank you for your service. We appreciate it.
Yep. Could I have all our veterans stand, please?
For your service, Terry. Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for your service, serving the military. That's great. And, you know, that's what we're really proud to be able to do this every Friday. We recognize our veterans. A lot of our get-togethers, stakeholder dinners, things like that, we always recognize the veterans. We appreciate everything what people have done serving in the military, defending this great country. So what do you got next?
All right. We talked about how to be safe out on the road. A big part of being safe out on the road is making sure that your equipment is taken care of. I think we got Justin Kaufman somewhere in the room. There he is. See that hat floating up here?
Coming from the cheap seats back there.
All right. What do you got for us this morning, Justin?
I wanted to talk about a few things that we're specifically seeing in the call center as far in relation to doing good, thorough pre-trip and route and post-trip inspections. I'm going to have Rodney show some photos up here. But the first one is being, making sure that you've got a good flashlight to go around your equipment. Check for any fluid leaks. Here we've got an axle flange gasket that's leaking. And this is something that we've recently seen quite a bit of, whether it be new trucks or trucks that have been serviced, for a little bit. But you just want to make sure that you catch this. You contact Road Assist. If you have some questions as to whether something's leaking or not, send us the photos. We'll take a look at it and we'll let you know. And so, once this is repaired, once any leak is repaired, you want to check the level. So in this case, you'd want to check the level of the rear end and make sure that it's topped off and good to go. We move on to the next photo. This is another flange axle gasket that has been leaking. It's been leaking for a while. And on the next one, we've got a leaking wheel seal here, you know, that you would inspect on kind of the inside of the brake shoes as you're going around your truck and you're looking around. This is something that you would definitely want to make sure that you caught prior to there being any type of wheel bearing problem. And as we move to the next one here, this is a major frame rail on a reefer trailer that's broke. This is something, obviously, you don't want to contact Road Assist right away. If one of those major frame rails is broke like that, it does compromise the trailer's integrity. And we've seen them actually break in two before. And so, you know, this would be something where we, you know, look to see whether we need to unload it and or temp repair it up, you know, get some angle iron on it and get it ready to roll. But you wouldn't want to deliver the load with this. You'd want to stop right there, get photos, send them into Road Assist, and then we'll kind of make the decision or the best decision on what we need to do. I just think it's, you know, really important that anytime we're picking up a trailer, we pay attention to this light. This purple light right here is on our 160,000 series trailers and up, and it's a tire inflation light. Okay, so below 160,000 reefer trailers, when you get into the 1.4s, 1.3s, 1.5s, there's a white light in its place. It'll say tire inflation. But if you pick up a trailer and this light is on, you don't want to move, because at that point, the truck's air compressor is inflating the trailer tires, getting them up to proper air pressure, okay? You'll also want to walk around and make sure that you do a good, thorough pre-trip, and make sure that you don't have any leaks in any tires or inflation lines. You know, that's another possibility as to why that light is on. Maybe the tires are just a little bit low, but if you've got a leak and it stays on, you know, we need to figure out what the problem is. I always recommend that operators carry a little bottle of a water. Just get a plastic bottle, fill it up with water, get some Dawn dishwashing soap or some soap, put it in there. Soapy water can oftentimes help identify, you know, where a tire's leaking at or where an airline's leaking at. If it starts to bubble up whenever you're spraying it on there, then you know what you've got. But once again, once the light goes out, if it comes on whenever you're en route and you check that in your rearview mirror, you see that, you want to get pulled over within a half a mile. Get a safe spot, pulled over within a half a mile. Let's figure out what we've got, because, you know, if you continue to roll down the road, there is the risk of fire. I mean, as those tires start to get low and drop below proper air pressure with a load on them and or without a load on them, they can certainly get really hot, blow out, and catch on fire. So lastly, I did want to just take a quick minute to introduce our reps that are way back in the back. We've got a lot of our vendors that show up here every Friday morning and are here to help support us. But in the far back right corner there, we've got Jeff Wara. Jeff, do you want to raise your hand? Jeff is our on-site Freightliner rep. You know, he's a whiz whenever it comes to any type of Freightliner problem. He's a also well-connected to all the shops out there. So if you happen to break down in Albuquerque Freightliner, Jeff's your guy. He can help, you know, kind of work your truck through the shop, find any parts that it needs. And we also have a problem child truck meeting every Wednesday where we go over any trucks that have repeat issues. You know, if you've got this problem that you just can't figure out what the deal is, it's been in the shop several different times, we'll get your truck on that list and we'll get our engineers involved, their engineers involved, and try to figure out what the problem is and get it fixed. To the left, we've got, Van Gertner is another on-site rep for Peterbilt. And so he's well connected with all the Peterbilt shops out there. Both those guys sit in the Plaza building, right kind of in front of driver's lineup. And so let's see here. We've got Skip Wendt with Larson Group Peterbilt as well. We've got Todd Randall with Thermo King. So if you've got a tri-pack or a Thermo King APU, got any issues with that, he's your man. Got Chris Sisai with Springfield Peterbilt as well. He's the branch manager over there. We've got Terry Welch with Volvo. Terry, raise your hand. We've also got Steve Cook with International and Doug Carney with International. So we'll all be around after the meeting. If you've got any issues or concerns about your equipment, we'll address them. Any questions for me?
My name's Steve Wetke. I'm in safety and sales. Safety first, always, okay? If you don't take anything else away from this meeting, take away the fact that we do care about safety. It's our highest calling. And there's no way we could raise rates high enough to offset these accidents. So when you get behind that wheel, you be ready to go. Don't be distracted, all right? Everybody give me something on that. Yes? Yes? Yes. Okay. Hey, I'd like to welcome you new folks that have chosen to join our team. We do have a really nice company. We're proud of it. We try to do things the right way. Our brand is quality, people, equipment, safety. All those things really matter to us. So if you're looking for average, you're probably at the wrong place because we want to be best, and we don't apologize for that. And thank you again for joining us. I would like to, Ken Yeoman, come up here a minute, would you, pardon? Get up here. I want to introduce a guy that's been here a few years, and the only reason I want him to come up here is he never comes to our terminal, hardly ever. Grab that microphone there, Kenny. What you do is you put it up close to your...
I know what you do.
Okay. I've put him on the spot before, so he loves public speaking. Kenny loves it, don't you, Kenny?
Not really.
He's pretty transparent, too. That's why I like him. Kenny, how long have you been with us?
23 years.
Just 23-year veteran right here. You know, I see this patch on your shoulder over here, this one. How many million miles you got?
I can't remember. Million with Prime, about 3.5.
Safe driving, yes? 3.5 million miles without an accident. What do you think of that, you guys? Kenny, I just wanted to thank you for being here. Appreciate all you do. Have you ever hauled any Kellogg loads? Kenny, have you ever hauled any Kellogg freight? You have? It's good stuff, isn't it? We recognize that drivers are super important here at Prime, and we're focused on how to make your lives better and to do things better for you. But certainly without our shipper customers, we just wouldn't have anything to do, would we? I mean, we'd just be kicking a can down the road looking for another free ride, and we wouldn't like that. So when you have good customers like Prime does, and they invest their time to come out and see you and spend time with you and maybe even bring an award for us, we really are pleased with that, right? We like that, don't we? Come on now. Come on now. So we have the Kellogg team here. Y'all come up here. Come on up here. No, you bring your entire team, Matt. Come on. Get up here. You ladies, too. Come up here. You don't have to speak. Just give this guy some support. You know, Matt? Yeah, he's going to act bashful, but he's really not. These folks represent the Kellogg team. We do right now about $550,000 a week in revenue with them on a weekly basis. We need to be doing more. We're working on that, aren't we, Matt?
Yes.
Yes, we are. They're an outstanding customer for Prime. And we're really pleased that you guys would come out and spend time with us. Matt, you got your driver force here. You want to tell them a little something?
Yeah, so we're here to celebrate. I was here a year ago and with Renee, and Prime won our Carrier of the Year a year ago. And so congratulations. So, you know, I stood up here, and I think I challenged you guys in the market that was 2018 to step up your game even more. And the group, the entire group, from the drivers to the people that manage and deal with our facilities on a day-to-day basis, you know, I'd congratulate Prime again for a repeat Carrier of the Year winner for 2018.
So. There you go. Robert, you want to come up here? Dave? No, you guys don't want to participate. You want to stay off? Okay, right here. Okay, all right.
So I think I'll add to that just a little bit. You know, we ship 500,000 shipments a year. Prime will do about 20,000 of those. Those are 20,000 loads that we really never worry about because of what you guys do. So we appreciate it. It's the quality of people. It's the culture here at Prime. I'm a big believer in the culture here. But it's really the quality of people and the care you take out there on the road, and we appreciate it. So thank you again.
Matt, I got to confess something to you now. This is like, I don't know, 37 or whatever number I've been here. And I've yet to deliver one of your loads on time. But these folks do it every day. So they're doing the heavy lifting. I want to thank you all very much. We only sell what you give us. The quality that you give us is the product we sell. So thank you. Give us the best in the country. Appreciate it. Matt, thank you, guys. Thank you. Holly, thank you. Hey, appreciate it. You guys take care, okay? Stick around, okay? Stick around. We'll get you back up here in a minute.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, you can. You go ahead. Give me this. Yeah, let me
like
hold this.
I always say, you've been here 37 years. You may not make 38.
Yeah.
You may not make it to the end of the day. No, Steve's great. We appreciate him. Does a fantastic job representing us to customers like Kellogg's and our many other customers. I tell you, it does. It's very meaningful. Thank you all for coming in. We truly appreciate it. The Kellogg's team has been very kind to us. I think we have more good things in the works. You know, they treat us very fairly. They respect our drivers. You know, that's important. You know, here at Prime, we owe you a lot of things. We owe you the opportunity to earn a good living. We owe you safety. We owe you good health. You know, we can't force you to exercise or dictate what you're putting in your body consumption-wise, but we can give you the tools and the training to help you with that because, as we talk about a lot, truck driving can be unhealthy. You know, you all make a lot of sacrifices to drive these trucks, and you don't need to sacrifice your health. But the most important thing of those basic tenets is respect. We respect our drivers here, and our management team respects our drivers. If they don't, then we send them to Martin or Swift or somebody else. You know, you see what I'm saying? Here, it's all about respect. You make tremendous sacrifices, and that's the very least that we owe you. And we appreciate you. Welcome our new folks. Very gratified that you joined our team. We think you joined the right team, and we're going to work hard to keep improving it. You know, it's not just where we are, but it's where we're going, and we're going further in this marketplace. Steve said it. We're just going to keep amping it up. Right, Steve?
That's correct. And
I can count on you to do your part.
You can count on me 24/7. You know, we should mention the fact that what Sean was talking about on payroll was really a result of discussion we had at our driver advisory board. You know, that was a topic that was brought up, as you recall. You do recall, right?
Yeah, and some of the features that were asked about, you know, as far as, you know, other sources of funds being able to move on the card and that kind of thing. Yeah, we're going to take a look at that.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, give us that feedback, what you need, what you want.
Now, you should also invite all of our operators, even our vendors. You know, those guys probably love the Kellogg product. We got like three pallets or we got a bunch of stuff up here that,
well, Steve,
that Kellogg was nice.
I thought they'd go under the radar. I'd steal it all for myself.
You're taking it all home to the wine cave. I got you. Yeah. Well, let's give it away to these people that handled it. What do you say?
You're very welcome. Folks, God bless each of you. Please be safe out there. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you all.
Yeah, I just started driving in August, and I noticed the sun's coming out. My left arm's starting to feel it. So what is Prime's policy when it comes to window tinting?
Prime does allow window tinting, all right? Before, we didn't have a tool to measure what was legal and what was not legal, but now we do. We've got it in multiple locations. Our rule is the same rule as the FMCSA has. 70% light has to come through. Anything less than that, you're going to have to remove it. All right.
And now I'll be honest with you, 30% blockage is not that much. It probably wouldn't even make a difference. So that's just what it is. That's what the federal rules are. There are states out there that enforce that, and we've seen that where a truck will get stopped for an inspection. They'll do a test on it. They got these devices just like we have out here in lineup. They'll check. If it's too dark, they'll make you take it off right there. And that's not a fun Dave. Thing to do. So, and, you know, Dennis brought up a lot of good points about, you know, missing scales and stuff. And when those situations happen, you got to realize you're already behind the eight ball. You already got a violation on your record. And missing a scale, doing, you know, rolling through a stop sign at a scale. We've had those before, too, or they'll tell you to stop. They want you to do a complete stop, then pull forward. But if you roll through that, they're going to write you up for it. And then they're going to take you from there and say, well, what else we got wrong? Pull you around back. Next thing you know, you got a whole hour blown sitting at a scale. And that time could have very well been used heading on down the road if you just would have stopped at that stop sign, do the right thing, and head on down the road, and then you wouldn't have been stopped. So a lot of it, you know, a lot of our inspections, especially violations, are caused because we do something driving-wise, and maybe going a little too fast just gives you a reason to stop, and we start the inspection. So be thinking about that. You know, knowing where scales are at, that's trip planning right there. You should know where all the scales are. If you're heading from here out to California, where's the next scale? First one here in Missouri is down in Joplin. After that, there's one in Oklahoma in 44. Just keep going down, to, you know, and have those marked and ready to go. So anything else you want to throw in there, buddy?
I'm good. You ready to shift gears a little bit?
Let's shift some gears.
All right. You know, one of the things that I like about this meeting is that we go kind of all facets. We talk about a lot of the things that go on here at Prime. But one of my favorite things about this company is all the amenities that we offer associates. All right. You've got a movie theater upstairs. You've got a spa. You can get a massage or a haircut or whatever people do at spas. You know,
got abacus up there?
Got abacus. Yep. You know, tax day was just last Monday. So hopefully you've got that taken care of. You've got a full gymnasium facility right here behind me. You can play basketball. You can get on the treadmill. If you like the springtime and want to get out, we got a walking path that goes around the facility. I just learned, because I'm not a dog person, but apparently we've got like a dog deal back here.
Yeah, we do.
You know, one of the things we have is a medical facility right here on site. And soon, Dr. Abraham, where are you? Wait a minute, what we got? Okay, we'll get that here in just a second. Great job, Pat. But Dr. Abraham, this is Dr. John Abraham. He's with Trinity Healthcare. And Trinity is moving in the basement. When?
Next week.
All right, well, tell us all about it.
Yep, we are very excited. We're going to be moving in some new digs downstairs. Have a lot more room, a lot more space, and a better flow of patient care. So we're really excited, and we're thankful to Prime for having us on site here. Just want to tell you real quick a few medical tips for spring and summertime coming up here. Springtime is notorious for bringing about allergies. And with drivers, you guys being all over the country, you run through so many different environments, zones, whatever else, and get exposed to so much out there. Allergy season can be quite a bear. A lot of times we end up with a runny nose, a itchy, watery eyes, a sneeze, and sometimes people have a hard time breathing, or skin rashes come about with it too. A couple things that we a lot of times find is drivers don't know if they can take certain medications on the road. One of the, as far as allergies go, there are several over-the-counter medications you can take. Medications like Zyrtec, Claritin, Allegra, all great medications. If it tends to be a little more skin related, I tend to go with Zyrtec. And again, all these can be found over the counter. I'd stay away from Benadryl just because Benadryl can cause a little bit more drowsiness. And that is typically one that's frowned upon. The other thing we tend to see is a lot of folks start to come in, think they have a sinus infection, or they've got a cold or some kind of bacterial infection. Recent studies show that 9 out of 10 respiratory issues are typically either viral or allergy related and not bacterial. Our human body is an amazing system. It's got the ability to heal itself, take care of itself, and get rid of infections. So a lot of times if you get a little bit of time, get some rest, push the fluids, take some of the over-the-counter remedies, that can help. Nasal sprays are also a good thing they can use for allergy season. There's several over-the-counter like Flonase, Rhinocort, and Aquacort. I tend to prefer Rhinocort and Aquacort just because they're water-based. Flonase tends to be alcohol-based, so it can mess up your sense of smell, and sometimes that can be permanent. So anytime you're using a nasal spray, you want to make sure you tip your head forward, aim towards the midline and back. That way you get enough penetration of those sinus cavities. One other quick thing about spring, summertime real quick is sun protection. All too often we kind of think we're, you know, protected from the sun. We go in and out of buildings. We do just fine, or we're driving in the truck. Take a minute if you get a chance and Google sun protection drivers. A lot of times you'll see this image or this picture of a driver that's about 40, 50 years old, and his whole left side of his body, his driving side, is just leathered and wrinkly, and you can tell a stark difference between the two. And it's because he hasn't used any type of protection. For every hour that you're out there in the sun that's unprotected, it causes 40,000 errors in your DNA. So our body has a natural way of clearing out most of those errors, kind of like a computer virus system does. But on occasion, those errors can slip through and cause a mutation, cause skin cancer to pop up. Try and apply some kind of skin protection about every couple hours while you're out in the direct sun. If you're driving, they have the driving sleeves that have some UV protection. I'd advise using those. If you can wear a hat or, you know, something that's got a broad brim to it, or even apply the sunscreen to the left side of the face there, something to give you some protection. And I think that's about it I got for you guys today.
Thank you, Dr. Abraham.
Kevin Bergman.
What's your name? Kevin Bergman. Man, I've worked with Kevin for 17 years, and all of a sudden I couldn't remember his name. So what do you got for us this morning? You're going to recognize somebody, am I right?
I am.
All right.
I'm going to start off first, though. Bob Tellings. I'm seeing some Facebook posts, mostly very, very positive about a change we made in the plaza. Bobtail Lane only is happening at all three locations. They have the lane. They have the signs up. What I'm seeing, though, is this is such a new thing that the experienced drivers that have been here a while don't notice the signs, and we're going to look at a way to maybe better improve these signs. We're still having trailers go through these lanes, and then obviously these are bobtail lanes. So if we can, pay attention to these signs and make you aware of it so we can get the bobtails through the plaza as quickly as possible. All right, so recognition time. Tanner Vaughn, come on up. You'll notice he is carrying a couple awards. We have Tanner Vaughn's been with us for 6 years. you know, and has been going to this competition. How many years have you been going to this competition?
3 years.
3 years, okay. We have other companies that do nothing but train for these types of competitions. I mean, literally, they go to classes, seminars, how to win these things, okay? We don't. We are a shop that is out producing to get you back on the road as quick as possible, okay? Tanner, though, is the exception, okay? He placed first place in the APU station and air system station category. Back there. There you go. No, that's Tanner. That's a big accomplishment. If not everyone knows that it is a big deal. We really appreciate it and all the time. And he has bigger goals for next year. What's your goal for next year?
I would say probably place in the top three.
Okay, what'd you finish this year overall?
Fourth.
This is the Missouri Super Tech competition. So all of Missouri, he got first place in two stations, fourth overall. Huge accomplishment, Tanner. We're going to keep recognizing you. You don't know all the ways we're going to keep recognizing you, but it's going to be more. So great job, and look forward to next year.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin, real quick, back here. No, right in front of you. There you go. As far as Tanner goes, when you come in here to be a mechanic, do you just come in here and start off turning wrenches, doing everything? Or is there any type of certification these guys got to go through? How does that work?
If you come into a prime shop, we are on-site training. You can be seasoned. You come in. We still train you in the prime ways, the prime areas that we need to focus on. But if you're green, we take you on, train you from the ground up. We're doing a whole bunch of different things where we are supplying tools to new associates to make that burden easier on them, and really training them in the prime culture, I guess.
Hey, real quick, you know, you talked about last week the new trailer tales. Have we got any kind of more feedback or any update on that?
Yeah. First, has anyone here hauled a trailer with a new UAT? What's your experience?
I liked it. Docking was a lot easier. The doors, actually, I think it's got one link too many to hold the doors back.
Say that again?
Got one link too many to hold the doors back.
Oh, it's actually too much? Like chain you talking about?
The chain. I was actually able to go to the third chain.
That's a good problem to have.
So, yeah, it was docking was a lot easier. No complaints from customers. Nobody's good. Trying to stop me from hitting the dock doors.
So. Yeah, right.
It was a lot nicer.
Good. And if you guys don't know yet what these are, haven't seen them, I don't have any pictures, I wasn't thinking about it, but they're a little black tail that sits on the side of the back end of the trailer and the top and kind of wrap around the back edge about, stick out probably 4 inches probably. But no driver interaction. You just open the door, shut the door, they automatically deploy. Only heard really good things so far. We're still trying to improve ourselves, though. So there's still other items out there, other manufacturers that we're still looking at. You know, what we can do to best and easily make your guys' lives easier, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Okay. Rodney's got a picture, I think. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Sorry I forgot your name a little earlier. We've got a rock star here at Prime. His name is Derek. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the Prime mobile app, right?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be talking about the fuel and service map today. Last week, we actually released a new version of it to kind of better suit the drivers out there, and I'm going to be talking about it a little bit here. So once the PowerPoint gets pulled up, I'll kind of be on my way. We'll see here. Technical difficulties, of course. There we go. So get to know Prime Mobile. So the first thing you're going to do when you open up the Prime app, you'll see that there's a fuel and services button at the top. There's a few different ways to navigate to this page, but there's all three there. From the home page, we have a little side menu as well. And once you navigate there, you'll see that there is a couple of new buttons. So in the top right corner, we have the enlarger, basically, that enlarges the map so you can see the full view. We have a search function now, so you can actually search for any specific place you need to stop at, as well as a filter button, and you can navigate back to your truck. Using the button towards the bottom there. We have locations that you can click on now, and it'll show different station information as well as a rating system. That's kind of new to give you guys an understanding of what you're getting into. Some stops, you know, you can rate it and leave little reviews there. You can also display the current price, and you can dial out to that location now as well. If you click the little teardrop icon, you can actually filter out certain spots that you're trying to stop at. So, like, if it's a trailer wash, truck wash, just fuel, and so you can kind of sort by those, and they'll all appear on the map. as you're sorting. So if you notice something's not on there that you think should be, just make sure you check the filter because it's most likely checked some specific type. Continuing on, we actually have near that, if you click on the little bottom there, when you're on a location, it'll actually pull up a full view where you can see the price, the rating across a bunch of different categories, as well as the phone number. And there's a new feature we have, which is the hours. So basically now, if you notice that something's supposed to be 24 hours or is closed when you arrive there and it wasn't something you noticed before, you can adjust that for all the drivers to see, and it gets updated live. So that's pretty, it's a pretty neat feature we added in. All you have to do is just go towards the bottom and you can adjust that. This is the rating system. So if you notice something is a little different than you expected, you can leave a rating there and kind of give drivers an understanding of what they're getting into. If you notice the stop maybe is super clean, super nice, leave it a 5-star review, and you know that kind of helps out the stop there, and as well as letting everyone know what's going on out there in the real world. So here's the hours function. If you go to hours and you click that little arrow, that little drop down, there's a suggest and edit. And if you edit that and you notice something different than what's been, you know, stated, or let's say it says open 24 hours and it's not open when you get there, definitely leave an adjustment there so everyone knows whenever they're heading to that stop. If you go to the top right corner, the last thing I want to talk about here is feedback. If you notice something different or off or have any questions, you can always give us feedback. We have someone on site 24/7, so we're always taking calls, taking feedback. If you have any questions for me, I'll be here at the end of the meeting, and I'm actually located in the main building, first floor. I take a lot of questions, and a lot of the feedback you drivers give me is implemented into the app every week. So please let us know if you have any questions. I'll be here after the meeting. Just come and find me.
Wait, I think we got a question right here.
So, Derek, my question is, when I get in my app, will you tell me where the ports of entry are as I'm going on my route? Does that come up there?
So I believe the way it's stated is kind of stated by, like, exits. So if, like, you need to get off, like, a highway or something, it'll say that exit. We're actually currently working on addresses currently. So, if like, it'll say what the specific address is. As far as port of entry, I'm not entirely sure. I'll have to get with Brianne about that sometime next week and kind of see what her update is.
Can you repeat your question, Steve, one more time?
Yeah, my question, Rodney, was on the app, as we pull it up, can we display the ports of entry that our guys should be stopping at? Because it sounds like Dennis has said in the past, we actually drive by them sometimes, correct? And you're blaming it on distraction, which it could be. But I'm just wondering if there isn't more information we could put out there that would help us.
Yeah, the scales are not in there, no. And that's what you're talking about when you're talking about ports of entry. The scales are not in there. We continue. Do you want to take this one, Dennis? Okay, to review the drive-wise, where are we at on that? Is it a viable product at this point?
So what Rodney's talking about, you know, we work with the current system of pre-pass, all right? And we've all the time we get vendors in here that try to give us better solution base to our problem. And one of the vendors that has come and pitched their product is DriveWise, which does exactly what, you know, Mr. Wookie here is talking about. It gives you a little bit of a heads up onto where the next scale is or port of entry or any place that you need to stop. You know, we're entertaining the notion. You know, Dave has got some contacts at other companies that say they've switched to it and they like it. You know, but before we make that big decision, you know, we're going to properly vet it and see how it affects us as a company.
Well, and did you explain kind of the way it works? It's part of the OmniTrax platform is what it is, and really it would come up on your device and tell you that a scale's coming is what it would do. And so I'm pushing for that. I'm pushing for him to work with our vendor and get Missouri taken care of because that's the right way to do things.
You know, we just got an email today that DriveWise is just now fully in Missouri. So
all
that's something
scale
that we're looking at. All right. So next we've got Pat Leonard, our Director of Reefer Operations and the Solutions Base, who got us the shade over here for our buddy. Great.
Thanks, Dennis, and good morning, everybody. Our largest customer is Walmart, and I want to talk about and ask all of you guys for your help that are in the reefer division. Not only are they our largest customer, for all the rest of our customers, whether it's Kraft, Cargill, Tyson, General Mills, Tropicana, we probably deliver to Walmart more than any other grocery chain, you know, in our whole freight network. Now, many of you go in and out of these distribution centers, and we have drop trailers so that you can go in, drop, pick up your empty, and go on. They're one of the leaders in the industry. They're pretty innovative. They're always looking at ways to control their inventory. They always want to have enough to make sure it gets to their stores, but they never want to have too much. So they've got a program in The acronym for it is OTIF, and what it means is on time in full. And this is a program that they have within their network that allows them to never have too much inventory, but always enough. Now, what that means for us is if you're dispatched on a load, and most often it's going to be either frozen, it could be fresh meat, it's not always produce, but if you have a delivery window that might say from midnight to midnight, or if you have one that indicates you can drop from noon to noon, what they do is they track that, and if you're early, you're late, and if you're late, you're late. Now, what does that mean? What that means is, perfect example is Farmland called us this week. So they, what Walmart does to Farmland or Kraft or any of the other vendors I mentioned, if their product gets delivered early, meaning before the window, if the window said you could be there from noon to noon, like noon today to noon tomorrow, that means if you went in there and on your load control sheet they show you coming in at 11 a.m., that's going to be considered late. Now, if Farmland's product on the trailer, if the cost or if Walmart had to pay Farmland $100,000 for that, for every time there's a late, they deduct $3,000 from their invoice. Yeah, I know it doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't seem like it's really fair, but that's the program. But here's the benefit that we can get from this. If we're better than all of our competition, then all of our customers, they want us to haul their Walmart freight so they don't get any fines. So the way we can get more freight is we're better than all of our competition. So what I'm asking all of you to do is pay attention to those delivery windows. And if you got a question whether it's okay to go in early, please ask your fleet manager or ask to speak to someone in the sales department. We do a great job. We already get more of this freight than anyone else, but we can get more than what we're getting if we have the best score of any of the competitors out there that you drive with. So if you guys can help us with that, you know, it'll just put more freight in the basket. More freight in the basket is more fun for everyone. Thanks a lot. Appreciate what all you guys do.
You know, Dennis, you are multi-talented. I mean, the guy's multi-talented. I learned of a new skill that Dennis possesses just this morning. You know, when he did that sound effect on the rumble strip, that was darn good, man. Where'd you learn that?
I hear it all the time.
Well, you duplicated really, really well. They ought to use your recording to do it, you know. Man, oh, man, he's good at that. You got any other sound effects?
Not meeting appropriate.
We got a heck of a team, folks. New folks, welcome. You came to the right place. I guarantee you. You know, Steve and I were at a meeting along with some other prime folks with our bankers this week in Biloxi. We spent 2 weeks, you know, going over numbers and, you know, playing golf a little bit. I mean, there's a little pleasure in there at the work. But, you know, this is what I want to tell you about. They had us measured on 7 or 8 different key metrics as far as measuring the effectiveness, the profitability, how we compare with our peers. So they compared us to all the public companies. We're privately held. They compared us to all the public companies, and they compared us to all their private companies where they have their numbers. We outperformed on every metric. That's a tribute. Yeah. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause. You know, that kind of performance is what, you know, got us the first place and the best place to drive for. You know, we have got a good thing going here, and with your help, we'll just keep it going. So thank you for choosing Prime. You know, our longtime associates and drivers, you know, thank you for what you do every day. You're one heck of a team. Why are you raising your
Robert,
hand?
Yeah, well, because I wanted permission to speak. I know how you are. You just don't let anybody interrupt.
Make it quick.
Yes. Well, I failed to mention the respect and amount of importance that Tanner and his peers in the shop bring to our company, because we are recognized as a super high service carrier. And without what Tanner and his peers do, we just couldn't perform and we couldn't win all of that recognition. So you guys in the shop and all of your peers, we appreciate what you do. We never tell you enough, but thank you.
Yeah, our shop does a heck of a job.
And they need to pick up a Forbes magazine on Sunday, because Prime is going to be in Forbes as one of the top 50 companies in the United States to work for.
Yeah, sweet. What's happening? Anyway, folks, appreciate what you do. God bless each of you, and please be safe.
Thank you. I think we got a few more speakers today. We're going to keep shifting gears here. We want to make sure we get everyone in, and we'll circle back around again on safety in a bit. Paul, we want to make sure you get on. You know, sometimes we forget to really introduce our speakers, so I try to make it a point to make sure, well, you know, I say Paul. Well, who's Paul? Well, Paul Smith has been with us now 20 years?
21 years.
21 years. Now, I remember when he started, you know, if you ask someone to pull up his picture in the computer, he's got this little tiny teenage picture in there, and he's kind of grown with us over 21 years, started pumping fuel down in our old plaza building, just gradually worked himself up to lineup. Now he's over trailer rebuild, lineup, our local operations, and, you know, Paul's a go-to guy. If you have a question about what's going on in the plaza or you're waiting too long, we need to know this stuff. We need to know how we can improve for you. So go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, Steve. Well, I wanted to take a second this morning to talk to you guys about aerodynamics because that's, you know, part of my responsibilities as well. I wanted to start off by, I know we've got some of our driver advisory board folks in here, and I think we had probably some at the gala last night. So sometimes we put things out in the fleet that are very effective, but may not fit our fleet perfectly. Our driver advisory board has done an amazing job of pointing this stuff out to me and you know, being fairly ruthless, if you will, not letting up. So one thing I set out to do was find some aerodynamics that work for the fleet, that work for our customers, that are effective. Because, I mean, you can put anything on a trailer, but if it's not effective, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of money. So, you know, we've got some white tails on the back of our trailers. We've got some black prime tails that we designed on the back of our trailers. And now on new trailers coming out of utility, you're going to see a different design. It's called a UAT. And what it does is it gets a little bit less than what the tails do. You know, the prime tail got about 2.5%. The UAT gets 2%. Okay, but it's deployed 100% of the time. It's always there. You don't have to open it. You don't have to close it. If you back into a dock, it doesn't interfere with a dock. I mean, it really takes zero interaction. When you open the door, it moves out of the way, and it allows you to lay the door flat against the trailer side instead of having a piece of equipment between your trailer side and the door. And I've got a quick video from actually utility that I took up there when I was originally looking at it. If you want to take a second to watch it here, I'll kind of explain what's going on. So this is a mock setup here. It's on a trailer at the utility plant or on their little thing. As the door is opening up here, it's actually pushing the aerodynamics out of the way. And you'll see as the door comes further and further open, it lays flat against the trailer wall so it doesn't interfere with the opening of the door. You're gonna see the engineer here having a hard time hooking the door. He is an engineer. There we go. So you see how nice and flat that lays down. I'm going to walk around to the other side. Up top, there's also an airfoil up there that forces the air off the top of the trailer down behind the trailer in that low pressure zone. So, you know, very flexible. I'm going to put my fat hand on it here and push on it. So, you know, it's a great improvement of what we've had. You know, if you guys would, I'm going to give you my phone number here real quick. I want to hear of any problems we have or anything you see. You know, this is new technology. This is actually technology that utility hadn't released yet. So there's some fleets out there that have 5 sets of these. We already have 300. Utility is a great partner of ours. But I want to know of anything you guys are seeing that may need improvement. My phone number is 417-207-6975. I should have gave you my wife's phone number. That would have been funny.
Yeah, is there anything as far as when we back up to a dock where they open the doors from the inside? Did any effect on that kind of a situation?
That's a great question, and I actually took some of these to docks that are exactly like what you're talking about. You know, there's docks that you open your doors up and then you back into, and then there's docks that you back into and then you open the doors onto the dock, and these don't interfere at all with those docks. They work perfectly. Good question. So any other questions or comments? Absolutely. It's 417-207-6975. You know, and you guys feel free to call me anytime about any plaza, trailer, rebuild, any stuff, okay? I get a lot of phone calls. I love it. Paul Smith.
Hey, well, Paul, I got a question here for you. And I know you showed a little bit of it in the video, but some of the concerns that and some of the feedback that we get back is when that door swings open, you know, and we saw the engineer having a tough time
getting
that
chain. I got people calling me already.
And we saw the engineer having some challenges getting that door latched. You know, with the other tails, I mean, or with the other tails, it kind of made the door kind of a couple inches wider than what it typically would be, meaning we would potentially snag a trailer or, you know, a dock pole or something while pulling out. Can you kind of just talk about that for just a second, how that doesn't do that with these?
Yeah, that's actually a really big part of it. You know, with having the tail device in between the door and the wall, it would cause it to stick out quite a few inches. I think it's about 8 inches further than normal. So by us going to this, I mean, you're able to collapse it all the way against the wall like you would a trailer without any device on it at all. So, you know, the way we were able to latch our other doors is by extending the chain. You know, this goes back to the stock chain. If you have a reefer with zero aerodynamics on the rear of the trailer, it's got the same link chain as this one that does have the UAT on it. So that's a big deal. All right, I'll be around after the meeting. If you guys want to talk about it or see that video close up or any other pictures or anything, we can... Hey, hang on, let's get you on.
The material that's made out that springs back, what is that that's holding that fin out that lets it release?
Yeah, it's a thermal plastic.
So it won't rust or anything on it?
Absolutely not. No, it won't rust. And any of the pieces, where it attaches to the panel, is all aluminum. So, I mean, you're not going to have any rust or issues like that.
I know the new black ones that you got, you guys, they put those hooks on there with the pins on. Those are all already rusted. You can't even unlock them to open.
Well, they're not they're corroded. And I'm working right now with the folks we bought that from for a replacement. We're going to start swapping those out with something that won't look like that. I sent the picture to our supplier and said, man, this looks like something that was pulled up on a shipwreck. You know, they corroded a lot worse than they were supposed to. So we're going to start swapping those out and get some latches that work a lot better.
Was there any plans to retrofit some of the older trailers to the new? Or
actually, the retrofit, I think right now what we're going to do is any damage that we get to the current tails, whether it's the white ones or the black ones, we're going to remove them and we'll retrofit those. Right now, due to supply from the OE, you know, I'm going to kind of struggle getting some aftermarket parts because, like I said, this is very new stuff, and we've kind of got ahead of things for utility. But we'll eventually catch up. I don't know at this point that we're going to look at removing perfectly good tails, but we definitely won't replace them, and we'll retrofit with the UAT. All right. Thank you guys very much.
Super, Paul. Thanks very much. I just want to kind of emphasize one thing that Paul said there was, and that was we did hear your feedback about the original trailer tails. We've constantly modified those. You know, the idea, you know, was a good idea. Fuel economy is critical out there, but, you know, we listened to some issues with them, and a lot of that did come from our driver advisory board that, you know, gave us some feedback on it, gave feedback, just any driver can give feedback on it. And, you know, it's something that, you know, that it's important to us. We may not always be able to take action on an idea you have or a suggestion, but I think this is a good one that, you know, over time we've changed our opinion. We've changed what we're going to do. And I've seen these out on the yard, and I think it's going to be a big improvement for you out there and just maybe make it a little less stressful for you, because there could be some issues. There are some issues with the full size trailer tails. So let's look forward as we kind of migrate to the new style here. I think it's going to be good.